February 5th to February 11th marks the 33rd annual Suicide Prevention Week. This year's theme is Prevention is Better Than Death, to highlight the importance of prevention in talking about suicide. Anne Joutre, Executive Director of the Centre de Prévention du Suicide de la Oyamaska, sat down with CIDI to highlight the importance of Suicide Prevention Week and the services that are offered to the Bro-Missisquoi community on part of the nonprofit organization. Good day, listeners. I am your host, Taylor McClure, for CIDI's Daily News Show, Township's Daily News Bits. So Anne, you and I had the chance to chat together before our interview, where you expressed the importance in highlighting Suicide Prevention Week. This year's theme for the campaign is Prevention is Better Than Death. Can you please speak on that a little bit more for our listeners? What makes this campaign so important?
I think it's not particularly this campaign, but all our campaigns and all year long, the importance is to talk about suicide. It's really a public health issue. There's three people in Quebec every day that die by suicide. We need to do something about it. And the most pressing thing and the most effective thing is to talk about it with the people around us. So that's why it's so important. And the theme is a bit drastic this year. Prevention is better than death, but it's true. It's better to talk about it than to end up with someone who might think about death.
Exactly. And you mentioned before our interview that there are people suffering right here in our own region. It's not just people living in the big cities like Montreal. It's happening to people right here on the ground. Can you speak on that a little bit more for us?
Yes, well, definitely. Distress and suffering doesn't target specific people. Everyone at any point in their life might have had a moment of distress, of suffering, a point where, you know, they don't see the end of the tunnel, they don't know what to do. Mental health affects everyone. And we know now, through studies and all kinds of information, that since the pandemic, our communities are more vulnerable. Our mental health took a big kick with this whole pandemic thing, and we know that there are more people out there that are suffering. There's a whole bunch of things going on in our society right now, you know, whether it's talking about inflation and the ability to find housing or affordable housing, the cost of food, all that kind of stuff adds to situations that people live in. Sometimes it's that added little stress thing that leads people to problems in mental health. So it's important to know that it's not just one thing, one factor. It's a whole bunch of things put together that bring people to that level of suffering that they actually think about taking their own life.
You work for the Le Centre de Prévention du Suicide de l'Oyamaska. From your experience working with clientele that is suffering from suicidal thoughts and or tendencies, why are people anxious or afraid to ask for help?
Well, because there's still now in 2023 a huge taboo around the concept of talking about mental health, talking about suicide. We're afraid because it touches a subject that is very intense. We don't know how to talk about, you know, somebody not feeling well. We think that if we ask someone, well, how are you doing? And they say, well, not so well. We think we're going to have to solve their problem. But that's not the case. There's a lot of stigma around having to ask for help still nowadays, especially the older generation where, you know, you were self-sufficient, you had to deal with your own stuff, you didn't bother other people with your problems or anything like that. So there's all of that. And then there's the added, if I ask for help, is someone actually going to be able to help me? Will they understand me? So there's that fear that's there too. But there are lots of services out there there for these people. So we have to ask. We have to open that conversation and people have to feel comfortable asking for help.
Yeah, because it's a very personal thing to talk about something like that. So that kind of throws people off sometimes. They're nervous that the person they're going to speak to is going to almost invalidate how they're feeling. They don't know how the other person's going to react.
Exactly. And that's really a misconception. You know, if you don't feel safe talking to someone in your close environment, there are services out there that will listen to you. They're there for that sole purpose. and they will not judge you, and they will listen. And that's what's important for people to know, that you can ask for help. It's not a bad thing. It's actually a position of strength. You know, you're strong if you're able to go out there and ask for help.
As a community, how can we change this? How can we change the perspective around suicide and mental health? How can we support these individuals that are suffering here in our communities?
I think it's important to talk about it, to open that conversation with people. You know, it doesn't take much. Three easy steps. You ask the person, you know, you see someone at work, in your family, you know, someone that you chat with on a regular basis. You just ask them, how are you doing? And if they say, yeah, you know, not so well, just listen. You don't need to solve the problem. You're not a professional. You don't have to be a professional. All you need to do is to be there to listen to them. That's what they need. They need to be able to say it out loud without judgment, without somebody trying to find solutions for them. Sometimes just the fact that they're being listened to lifts the weight from their shoulder. And then what you can do is, hey, sounds like that's pretty intense stuff, or you know, it sounds like this is the kind of the problem that's going on. Do you want a phone number? I'll give you a number to a resource that can, or a service that can actually help you. They will listen to you. So that's three easy steps. You ask how the person's doing, you listen to them without judgment, without trying to fix everything, and you give them a phone number.
Yes, and so it seems you're putting a lot of emphasis on education, so there seems to be, there needs to be more education surrounding mental health, it seems to be what you're getting at.
Exactly, and education, and then taking care of each other. You know, it's this whole, this is something we've learned through the pandemic. We need to be there in our communities to take care of each other. And asking someone how they are and listening to them is an excellent way to take care of that person.
Now, can you speak on the Centre de Prévention de Suicide d'Alais Oyumaska? You are one of only two groups in the Eastern Townships that actually provide services to individuals that are suffering from suicidal thoughts.
Exactly.
And you serve the Bro-Missisquoi region.
We do. And although our name is not that clear, we do serve Otiamaska and Bro-Missisquoi. And the service that we do offer are multiple. So we do phone intervention, so people can call us and receive services 24/7. We do in-person services, so someone can come to our center and chat with one of the workers here. Or we have partnerships with hospitals, health clinics, and things like that. So we actually do follow-ups on a regular basis with some clients who have suicidal thoughts or that have attempted suicide. So we do all that kind of stuff, but we also work with families, co-workers, people in the environment of that person that has suicidal thoughts or that has attempted suicide. So it goes further than just the person. And we also work with professionals. We offer training for professionals, health professionals, professionals in the schools, to be able to identify and to support those people, those youth that might have suicidal thoughts. And we also work with people that are bereaved by suicide. So whether it's a work environment or a family member or the family group, we do some postvention with those individuals and families and groups.
Yeah, because people don't take in consideration the family and the friends or the significant other in the situation all the time. And they're a part of that person's life. But that's not something that everyone always thinks about.
Right. And it comes back to, we were talking about education earlier and how important it is that the people around that person know that they can address this with them. They can talk to them, and that's going to help them. So again, you know, working and being there for those people that have concerns, sometimes they don't know how to ask the question. They don't know, what should I do? Where can I refer that person? So when they call us, we can give them those tools because they're the closest person to that person. So we want to make sure that they know how to help them, because the help will be easier if it comes from someone that you know, right? And that you know cares for you. So if everybody in the community knows how to ask, knows where to refer, then we know for sure that that person will feel safe in saying what they need to say and asking for help.
It's a community thing. It's not just on one person. It takes a community to build a healthy community.
Exactly.
Those are all the questions that I had for you, Anne, but please feel free to mention anything else that might be important that I may have missed in my questions.
Well, I think it comes back to, let's talk about it. Let's be supportive and caring of each other in our communities. Lending an ear doesn't mean that you have to be a professional and that you have to fix everything. Like I said, people have to remember that when you ask somebody, how you doing, and they say, not so well, and they talk to you about their problem, just having an open ear and no judgment, not trying to fix the problem, is often a huge relief for that person. And sometimes it'll be their first step to, maybe I need to go get help. I wonder where I could go get help. So if you have a number or a contact for an helpline, then give it to them. And then they will easily, at that point, be more comfortable and be willing to use that service. That's what's important to remember.
Yeah, it kind of opens up the door for them to get the help that they need.
Exactly. Exactly.
I wanted to ask you, Anne, this might be important for people who might be hearing this interview and they want to reach out to you. How can people reach out to the Centre de Prévention Suicide de la Oyamaska if they're in need of your services?
So we have a phone number, which is 450-375-4252. Now that number is 24/7. And if someone calls outside of our actual office hours, which is 8 to 4, someone will still answer that number. So no matter what, that's the number to remember in Bromissisquoi Oyamaska. We also have a chat line. It's called suicide.ca. So someone that's not at ease with the phone but wants to reach out for help or wants to ask about a person that they know, they can also do suicide.ca. And someone will, it's 24/7, so someone will answer, someone will chat them back and be able to answer the questions and help them.
Great. Thank you so much, Anne, for speaking with us. I really appreciate it. Thank you for taking the time to do this.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time to listen, and congrats on talking about it.
Township's Daily News Bits is a program sponsored by Local Journalism Initiative.